right. Well, we want to welcome everybody this weekend to River Valley. If you're joining us online, all of our campuses, thanks for being here. Happy New Year, everybody. We can say that, right? Come on. Happy New Year, everybody. And I don't know how long we get to say that, but we're only 4 days in, 3 days in, right? So now is the time to say Happy New Year. And we're just believing it's going to be an incredible 2015. And we're so glad everybody's here at River Valley, all of our campuses. If you're in this service, you're not here by accident. We really believe that. And we're going to talk about a standalone message this weekend entitled Amazing Plan. And I'll share some things over the next few moments as we look at even the next few weeks and some of the things, exciting things that God has for us over the next several weekends. But this weekend, we're looking at this whole idea of the amazing plan. And how many know we've just started a brand new year? And so just thinking a little bit about New Year's resolutions, let me ask you this question. What do you think is the average length of time that people keep their New Year's resolutions? Just what do you think? I mean, because this was pretty intriguing when I found this out. It's pretty impressive. What's the average length of time? It's 72 hours, by the way. 72 hours, right? So we need a little more commitment in our world, don't we? But that's true. Let me ask you this. Who is better at keeping, who keeps New Year's resolutions longer, men or women? You are right. So women are smarter. There you go. All right. But maybe not so. But anyways, I found something else out here. Men or women, who makes more New Year's resolutions?
Women.
Guys do. Guys are bigger dreamers. Come on, guys, right? And so I love that. We got to win at something. All right, there you go. So I know some of us, you may not be into making New Year's resolutions. I'm not into it as much as I was when I was younger. But let me ask this question. How many are into annual goals? Annual goals. I am. I am into annual goals. Pastor Rob is. We believe it for our church. And it's just, it's one of those things. I think it's super healthy to have annual goals, to sit down and say, okay, going into this new year, what are some things I want to get better at? I want to succeed at? I want to grow at? I want to achieve in? And I think it's very, very healthy to have those things. So in a few moments, I'm going to give you some bonus material to this message, The Amazing Plan. And it's really around kind of setting God-honoring goals and healthy goals because, and I'll give them to you in just a few moments. You might want to jot them down. When I was in my 20s and my 30s, I had some incredible mentors in my life. I really did. That helped me in this area, that taught me about goal setting and how to do it right, because I'd sit down with a piece of paper and I'd jot things down that I was never going to reach. You know, I was a young pastor, and so my goal for this year is I'm going to preach every nation of the world. Well, there's like 300 nations. How was I going to do that, right? And so they kind of taught me how to be stretched, yet be realistic, how to say, God, I need your help in these things. And it's just, they were incredible mentors in my life. The last few years, one of the joys of my life is I get to mentor younger leaders, and I'm blessed to be able to speak into the lives of some younger leaders. And sometimes they'll ask me this question, hey, Pastor Darren, what goals should I set? How many should I set? What categories should I have of my goals? And sometimes they'll ask, what's your goals? And so what I want to give you is just a few quick hits. And these will be up on the screen. Again, I think they're super helpful. I use them in my life, and I would encourage you to use them as well. So here's kind of some guidelines when we're setting kingdom goals, goals in our life as a Christ follower as well. So let's look at this. I ask the question, what do I most desire? What do I most desire? Because I realize that you've got to have a certain level of passion in you to go after a goal that's on your heart, right? So you got to ask, what do I really desire to change, to grow, to increase in my life? And so it's a simple one. What do I most desire? The second question I ask is, what do I really need? What do I really need? Not material things, but what do I need emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally? What are some needs I have in my life that I know I need to go to another place, to a healthier place? And I think it's really important to ask that question, what do I really need? And then the last one I think is so vital. I ask this question, is there a significant kingdom or eternal value? So when you look at your goals, and I probably set anywhere from 7 to 10 a year. I'm not one of those guys that sets 30 or 40, but 7 or 10. And I look at them and I say, is there kingdom and eternal value in these goals? Because it's so important. It's not just about achieving things for ourselves, right? It's achieving things that our Lord and Savior wants to do in our lives as well. And so you look at it and say, is there a significant kingdom, eternal value? So I set giving goals. I set goals for my devotion life. I set goals also for personal and finances and health and stuff like that. So it's just really important that it includes kingdom goals that have kingdom and eternal values. So this weekend is an amazing plan. I'm excited. I hope you are. I love teaching on this. I feel like God's given me this message to share with River Valley this weekend. So I hope it's going to be really meaningful to all of us. Next weekend, Pastor Rob's back, and Pastor Rob's doing our annual vision message. How many of you know you don't want to miss next weekend? And so join us, be a part of it. Pastor Rob's heart is full, excited, and how many of you know God's got a great plan for our church? And we're going to hear that next weekend, so don't miss it. Then that takes us right into the launch of our greater series. And so we're launching this all-church life group series on the theme of 2015 for our church that we feel is greater, that God is just going to do new, exciting things in our lives. So let's jump into the amazing plan. And I'm going to start by sharing a couple verses, okay, for all of us to grab a hold of. And they're life verses for me. They may be very familiar to a lot of us. If you've been around church a while, if you're new, these might be new to you as well. But even though you might have heard these a number of times, let's kind of track with this. So Jeremiah 29:11, it's one of my favorites. I know it's a favorite of a lot of ours. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I love that verse. Romans 12:1-2. Look at this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn, look at this, to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. How many think that sounds pretty good, right? Good, pleasing, and perfect. I love that. So as we look at the amazing plan, I need to start and kind of just tell you, and I mean this in all seriousness, I feel super blessed at this season of my life. I'm at a season of my life where I feel so blessed in so many ways. I really mean that. I feel like sometimes I'm living the dream. I mean, there's always challenges in every season. So this season's had some challenges as well. That's just part of life, right? But, and I've had other seasons that aren't as great, but I am living in a season where I just feel like, wow, God's plan is amazing. I feel so blessed. I feel my life's amazing. I feel my family and my kids and my wife and all, they're so amazing. We're part of an amazing church. I love that. I think my friends and the people God has placed in my life, I am so blessed. Next month, I get to lead my 29th global team. My 29th global team next month. And how many of you know I am so blessed that over the last 25 years, I've got to go all around the world sharing God's love with people and taking other people with me. And I feel so blessed that I've gotten to do that. And again, how many know in our church, at all of our campuses, God's doing some pretty special things, isn't he? He's done some pretty special things. I just want to highlight one of them for 2014. Okay, just last year, and this is a very conservative number that I'm going to give you, but it's just something to really sink in and say, wow, God, you're doing amazing things in our church. Last year alone, there was 3,839 people that committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, you got to clap louder than that, right? Just look at that number for a second. Just look at it. 3,839. Is that amazing or what? I mean, sometimes we give so many big numbers in our church and millions of dollars to kingdom builders and giving away to missionaries and all that kind of stuff. And we realize, wow, wait a second. 3,839 people across our different campuses made a commitment to Jesus Christ and said, I am in. God is doing so many special things in our church. So I love that. So I'm in that season. Now, what I want to do is I want to share a different season of my life with you as we talk about the amazing plan. And it's when early in my Christianity, I was a young adult and I was at Bible college. It was a season where I was having a crisis of faith. Have you ever had a crisis of faith? Where you just didn't have it figured out and you're just trying to figure your way through it and stuff like that. Well, I was pretty new in my faith journey and I was at Bible college because I felt like God had called me to kind of go into the ministry or do something, but I wasn't sure. And I was at Bible college and my whole first year of Bible college, most everybody I would talk to, all the other students, they knew with confidence what God had called them to do. I mean, they're like, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a worship leader. I'm called to do this. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to be a children's pastor, a youth pastor. And they'd share all these, and they had this, seriously, they had this confidence in what God had called them to do. And I didn't have that confidence. If they asked me, I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I'm, you know, sometimes you can feel like a loser when that happens, right? And you're just not sure. And you might say, I'm not sure how the Bible college things works. Well, it'd be like at a regular university, if you will. And how many, you know, people say, what's your major? What's your major? What's your focus? And it's like answering to that, I have no clue. I don't know what it is. That's not an empowering answer to give, is it? You don't look like the sharpest guy in the world when you say that. So I had this thing going on inside of me, and I just wasn't sure, and I didn't want to get it right. And so I was praying, I was asking God for things, and I would literally just feel like I had entered this couple months where I was praying to God and saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just tell me. Just tell me. Give me the direction I need. And so I was praying that in chapel. We were in chapel one day. And the speaker, you get this is just funny. God's got a sense of humor. The speaker's up there teaching, and he reads this scripture. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter heaven. And I thought, oh, great. I'm going to miss heaven if I don't figure this thing out. Seriously. Because it's only those that actually do the will, and I'm struggling with what's the will, and I know I'm getting it wrong, but I'm just processing all of this that's going on. And I thought, I want to get this plan thing, this will of God thing, I want to give it right. So I want to ask you the question this weekend, all of our campuses. It's a big question, I know, but I want to ask you, are you living in God's perfect will for your life? Right now, are you living in God's perfect will for your life? That's a challenging question. I know it is. There's some this weekend that would say, I know I am. I'm all in. I feel like I'm in that great spot, Pastor Darren. There's others that are like, yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Can I Google it? I don't know. I feel pretty good. And you know, you kind of, and there's others that like, I don't have a clue. Actually, I'm really confused. I don't know what the next steps are, and I'm wrestling with different things. It's a really big question. And in this message, there's about three or four what I would call anchor truths that I want you to get that I just feel like God said, you got to share this with the church this weekend in this message, The Amazing Plans. This is one of those anchors that I want you to grab a hold of. And you might think it's basic, but I want you to hear it not only with your ears, I want you to hear it with your heart. So listen to me. Everyone at River Valley Church this weekend, know this fact. God has an amazing plan for your life. Everyone. He has an amazing plan for your life, and that is absolute truth. That is absolute truth. And you might say, oh, Pastor Darren, that's simple. I know it's simple, but how many of you know we don't always hear that? And how many know we don't always believe that? And how many know, even though it's true, we need to own it in our own lives? You might feel like, I don't know that he does. Do you know my past? Do you know what I've gone through? You know the mistakes I've made? Just hear me crystal clear, because I want you to grab a hold of this. And I want you to feel it and own it. God's got an incredible, incredible plan for your life. And it's going to unfold in the next week as we do vision, and then we go into the greater series. You're going to have this sense of awareness, and I believe it's going to be really, really special. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to demystify the will of God. All right? We're going to demystify the plan of God. Because sometimes we kind of get stuck in like it's a hide and seek game. Like God doesn't want us to figure it out, right? And we kind of wrestle with it. So for a few moments, we're going to demystify it. And we're going to kind of just open our eyes and kind of say, it's not hide and seek, God. What do you want to say to our lives? So we're going to reread a couple of the verses we read that are so special at the beginning of this message. We're going to read them a little slower, just for my benefit, for our benefit. But we're going to just kind of lean in and say, God, I want to not only see these words of these verses, I want you to speak to my life. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn, look at that, learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So let's unpack this a little bit and just notice a few things. So the plans are described this way: good, pleasing, perfect, hope-filled, and a great future. How many think that's a pretty amazing description right there, right? It's amazing. So that is the plan. I also want you to notice something. It's God's plan, not mine. God's plan for our life has that descriptor on it. My plan doesn't. God's not promised to take his description of his plan and put it on my plan. I've got to decide, and you might say, maybe I'm all in already. Listen to me. I've got to decide my plan or God's plan. I got to decide, am I going to live my life saying, God, here's what I want to do, and I want you to bless it? Or am I going to start kind of living my life saying, God, I've discovered your plan. I'm going to live in your plan because I know you're going to bless it for my life. And so it's one of those things, as we walk through this amazing plan, we understand these are God's plans, and we got to choose my plan or his plan. And I had this thought, it's just about lordship, and I want you to grab a hold of it, because I just think it's one of those anchors I mentioned, and I want you to grab a hold of this. We get to choose to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we don't get to choose Lord or Savior. Did you see that? We get to choose, and this is powerful, grab a hold of it. We get to choose whether we want to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We don't get to choose Lord or Savior. It's a package deal. If we choose Jesus Christ, and it's the best choice we can make, if we choose it, it's both and. It's Lord and Savior. It's not, he's my Savior, but not my Lord. And there's this package deal going on here. And I just hear me, because I know a lot of us are all in on this, and some of us are discovering new things. I know the Savior part, we love it, don't we? Don't you love hearing about the Savior part? I mean, don't you love somebody telling you you're going to go to heaven? How cool is that, right? And you got a Savior, and you're going to be forgiven, and there's healing, and there's so much good stuff to it. And lordship, how many know our self and our flesh kind of pushes back against that? And that's very natural. If at the end of the service this weekend I said, everybody that wants another Lord in your life, line up here. How many know that line is pretty slim right there, isn't it? It's just not, but so there's something about this whole idea of lordship, and I don't want you to miss that anchor. We have a free will. Our choice is, God, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. My choice that God has not given me is to say Lord or Savior, right? It's both and for our lives and the other people that we get to share that with. And so it's so important. It's so important that we understand that. So I was studying lordship and reading about it, because there's just so much challenge there. I came across this teaching by an individual. His name is Bill Bright. He's no longer with us. He was the founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ. Incredible leader. And he was doing this teaching on lordship. And he was, part of what he was sharing was his own wrestling as trying to understand God as his Lord in his life. And I got to show you the statement that he made. He said this, look at it. It's kind of deep, but it's powerful. There is a throne, a control center, the intersection of one's intellect, emotions, and will in every life, either self or Christ is on that throne. Either self, isn't that good? Or Christ is on that throne. So every life has it. And it's this intersection of these key things in our life. And we got to decide either self or God is on that throne. Hey, as we're talking about lordship, where's all the amens, church? Come on, somebody, right? Right? It's like, let's talk more about lordship, right? I know it's not the funnest topic, but it's who he is to us. He's our Savior and he's our Lord. And so I love the strength of that. Now let me give you the balance side so that we understand. Here's the balance, because lordship's a strong word. It's a powerful word. It's a leader. He's the leader of our lives. And that is so true. Here's the balance that we never forget. God always uses his lordship for our best. Never forget that. I didn't say always the way we tell him to. That's not it. That's not how lordship works. But God always uses his lordship ultimately for our best. And we're going to unfold and kind of talk about that for a few moments. So and we're going to kind of unpack that. I'm just going to give you some practical helps for living the amazing plan. These are things I'm working on in my life as I was getting ready for this weekend's message. There's just three of them that I'm going to read a scripture to you. Then I'm going to give you two action steps for myself, for everybody at River Valley this weekend. So here's some real practical helps to say, you know what? Let's get the plan right. Let's get living the amazing plan right. So here's the first one, and it's a caution. Caution, don't add extra words to God's promises. Right? Smile at me. Come on. Don't, because we do that, don't we? Don't add extra words to God's promises. God hasn't promised to bless our words in a promise. He's promised to bless his promises to us, right? You might say, oh, how do we do that? Because remember Jeremiah 29:11, it talks about the future that God has for us. Sometimes we might say, I know plans God has for me in the near future. It doesn't say near future. Don't add near future. You don't get to add near future. I wish I could add near future, but that's not the promise, right? The promise is he decides the future. And that's where the promise is. Romans 12, it says that we learn to know the will of God. We can't add our words and say we will easily learn to know the will of God. Easily is not in there. I wish it was. It's not even in the message. I read it. It's not there, right? So as we walk through this, we just got to be careful that we don't add extra words to God's promises. You got to take them at face value. The next help I would give you, and this could be its own message, the second one here. It's so powerful. Will I trust God's promises in the midst of God's timetable? If you don't get anything else, get this. Will I trust God's promises in the midst of God's timetable? Timetable, I think, is one of those things, timing, that we wrestle with more than anything else. And so will I trust God's promises in the midst of God's timetable? Jeremiah 29:11, I did a little research on this, one of the most amazing promises that people love in the Bible that we just read. That promise was given to a group of people that was on their way in to 70 years of challenging times. And the promise was basically, at the end of these 70 years, as you are faithful, the future for you is bright. It's not to harm you. It's to give you a future filled with hope. Isn't that interesting? So it's just one of those things that, are we willing to trust God's promises in the midst of God's timetable? Because his promises are true, but we've got to say, God, I'm all in on this. So Romans 4 in verse 19 through 21, we're just going to read this scripture about Abraham. Remember Abraham, it's referencing God's promise to him and Sarah that they're going to have a baby, that they're going to have children. And this promise hasn't come to fruition yet, but the promise is also you're going to have descendants, multiplied descendants. And they had no children. Here's what it says. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though, look at this, at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, right? Just realize Sarah was over 90. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Oh, am I fully convinced, even though I don't understand the timetable, that God is able to do everything that he has promised? And I hope the answer is yes. So will I trust God's promises in the midst of God's timetable? And the last third help I would give you is this. I love this one. Whose responsibility is it to figure out God's plan? Whose responsibility is it to figure out God's plan? Now, I might rock you a little bit right here, but here's what I did for the last few weeks. I did other things, but this is one of the things I did for the last few weeks, is I searched scripture and I found no place where it tells you and I, go discover and search out the plan of God for your life. There's no verse that says that. There's verses that tell us to live in it. There's all these verses that tell us to search God out, that tell us to draw near to God, that tell us to worship God and pursue God in our lives. But there's no verses that say, go figure out his plan for your life. And I'm like, wow, this is just amazing for me to understand. So I started to ask the question, whose responsibility is it to figure out God's plan? So let me set you free a little bit here. And Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, this is such good advice. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you'll be wise the rest of your life. How many think that's good advice, isn't it? Amen. Get mentors, read books, study, learn, all that kind of plan, set goals. It's all good. It's affirming that. Verse 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. The writer of Proverbs is like, okay, do all that stuff, but just understand there's somebody with a greater purpose. His purpose is in charge. His purpose wins. And we've got to see that. We've got to feel that. We've got to say, God, I'm in on that. Oh, I just love that. I love that scripture. Now one more, Proverbs 20, verse 24. Look at this. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Is anybody, I'm set free by that verse right there. Because I try to figure everything out. I do. And I'm like, the writer of Proverbs is like, why are you trying to figure everything out? Just walk in obedience. Do the things you know you're supposed to do. Honor God, pray, pursue God, live in purity. Do the things I've called you to do. Don't shrink back, move forward. Embrace the word of God. Don't make excuses. Say, God, I'm in. And I'm just go after, and Lord, help me to do that. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? So I just want you to know before I move off this help, this last help, it's not your responsibility to search out and discover and learn everything about God's plan. God will reveal it to us because it's his plan and it's an amazing plan. So two action steps for all of us. The first one's very challenging, but I want to give it to you. It'll be up on the screen. The first action step is this. I know there's an obedience step I need to take. I know, and I put it in first person, so it's for all of us, every one of us this weekend, all campuses. I know there's an obedience step I'm supposed to take. And what I'd encourage you to do, take it. Take it. This, what I'm about to say is a strong word, but I feel like God laid it on my heart for this weekend. Don't take 2014 resistance and disobedience into 2015. Don't do it. Lay it down. Move forward. Take the obedience step. Begin what God has called you to do. Stop resisting. Move forward and say, God, I'm going for it. And I'm going to take that step that you've called me to take, and I'm going to obey you. So what is, I know there's an obedience step I need to take. And before I share the second action step for all of us this weekend, I want to kind of tie it all together here. But you remember I shared early in the message that I'm getting ready to lead my 29th mission trip, my 29th global trip. Well, let me tell you about the first one I led. First one I ever led. I was a rookie youth pastor. I've been a youth pastor about 6 months, so I really knew what I was doing, let me tell you. And we went, and I took 20 students from my youth group to this mission trip. We were meeting on the Mexico border, and then we were going to do 4 days of sharing God's love in Mexico. And it was a statewide event. There was approximately 400 young people that were gathering from youth groups all over the state. I'd never led a trip. I took my 20 down there. I'm going to meet with the state leader, super experienced pastor. He's led many of these trips. We're at the church location where there's this outside meeting area, and it's an open air thing, but there's a shelter over the top of it. And so we're meeting. Everybody's gathered. There's probably 300 young people there already. There's going to be 400 at it. And so I'm there. Orientation, the first meeting that we're going to go out and launch out to Mexico from, is getting ready to start in 30 minutes, and somebody tells me, hey, Darren, there's a phone call for you. And the phone call is the leader of the entire event, who's a friend of mine, older gentleman, friend of mine, and he says this to me. He says, hey, Darren, I need to tell you something. I've had a family medical emergency. I'm not going to make it down to the missions trip. You're in charge. I'm praying for you. Click. Serious. That's it. Hung up the phone. I'm like, Jesus. I was like, where's the bathroom? You know, all these different things are running through my mind. And I had all these different thoughts, and there's more experienced pastors there. Why didn't he call them? Why was I on the phone? Why is he asking me to do this? I didn't know what I was doing. What am I going to do to these 400 people? I'm in the orientation room. I mean it. There's no speakers. There's no sound system. There's nothing there. And he just says, I'm praying for you, is what he says to me. And I can tell you in that moment, God taught me so much about the leader he wanted me to be, because it wasn't about my capabilities, because I lacked. It wasn't about how much I was good at or my experience. I lacked in those things. It was about the promise of God saying, Darren, I have an amazing plan for your life, and this is the next step. Step into it. So here's my second action step I want to give you for all of us this weekend. Embrace several faith-stretching experiences this year. Every one of you. This isn't for somebody else in the room. It's for you. Embrace those several faith-stretching experiences, because that's what happened to me in that moment this year. Go on the global trip you're supposed to go on. Set the Kingdom Builders goal. You know that's a stretch. Begin doing things. Set goals that are bigger than you, that you know it's going to take God to help you get there. Whatever it is, step one was take the obedience step. Step two is say yes. and embrace several faith-stretching experiences. Not just go to a life group, lead a life group. Not just serve, lead a serving team. Not just God, what is it? And I encourage you, because then we're going to talk about vision next weekend. Then we're going to go in our greater series. And when you're in this frame of mind saying, okay, God, I know I'm not qualified. I know I don't have it all figured out, but you have an amazing plan for my life and I'm going for it. And God, I want your best in my life. So embrace several faith-stretching experiences this year. Never doubt, never forget that God has an amazing plan for you. And it's there because he loves you so much. And together as a church in 2015, let's step in to greater things that God has for us. It's not just for our church, it's for each and every one of us because we are the church. So let's discover, let's go after, let's walk in God's amazing plan for our lives. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for looking beyond our shortcomings. Because I have them, we all have them this weekend, but you still put your finger on our lives and you say, I have an incredible plan for your life. So God, we want to embrace it. We want to say yes to you. We want to seize moments. Thank you for what you're doing across our church at all of our campuses. And Lord, in this moment, we want to listen to you about the obedience step we need to take and about the faith-stretching experience we got to get ready for. And that we would seize those moments because, God, you're going to use them to take us to new places, greater places in our lives. Thank you for being such an amazing God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Amen.